Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Yud Dalet Shvat, 27th of January, Rav Moshe Levi Shlita, the message of Tu B'Shvat.
Be'ezat Hashem, tonight is going to be Tu B'Shvat. And when we think Tu B'Shvat, I was discussing with some students yesterday, Tu B'Shvat, what is Tu B'Shvat? What would you tell me? What is Tu B'Shvat? What would you say? What are we celebrating? So, most people say, birthday of the trees. I'm not sure how a tree has a birthday. Every time we take track of each tree that was planted and we say now is the birthday and we're celebrating the birthdays. So, we open up the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Arba Rosh Hashanim Hem. There's four Rosh Hashanahs. And we know that on the first of Tishri is Rosh Hashanah for human beings. It's not the day that the world was created. That would be L'chaira 25th of Elul. It's the day man was created. So it's we're celebrating the Rosh Hashanah of man. Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah, it's a machloket, if I'm not mistaken, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel. We hold on the 15th, Tu B'Shvat, is the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot. Why does that make a difference? So if you're a farmer, you have to know which year's crops and produce come at what time. Still, today, that is in the, whatever year it might be, and you have Maaseh Sheni, you have different things that you need to calculate based on what year it is. But for us people here in London who are not farmers, what exactly is Tu B'Shvat all about? What are we celebrating? And it's not, it's a Yom Tov. There's no Tachanun tomorrow. What exactly is Tu B'Shvat ultimately all about? So I'll be honest, I never knew. When I was a kid in school, they used to come in and we got our little bags with apricots and some almonds and some pistachios and the carobs, the buxer, but it was like, it must have been 3-4 years old. Like we used to throw it at each other and beat each other with it. I thought to myself, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, if he could eat this for 13 years, that's how he became so great. Like we're not getting the good stuff. But what exactly are we celebrating? What is Tu B'Shvat all about? If it's a Rosh Hashanah for the trees, what does that mean for us ultimately? How is that a day to celebrate? Seems somewhat irrelevant. So you open up the books and there's not much there. Tu B'Shvat is not discussed. There's no Masechet Tu B'Shvat. The Ben Ish Chai has a book called Pri Etz Hadar. And in this book called Pri Etz Hadar, he goes through, and again, I'm just repeating it. I don't know what it means. He says, you should do a Tu B'Shvat Seder and you get 30 fruit. There's three separate categories, 10 in each one. It says one type of fruit comes from the Olam HaBiriya, whatever that means, the world of Biriya, of creation. And this type of fruit has no peel and has no pit. Like a seedless grape. Seedless grape has no peel and no pit. And you take 10 fruit like that, and that is one level of Tikkun, Olam HaBiriya. There's another type of fruit that is from Olam HaYitzira. That is the type of fruit that on the outside you have the fruit and the inside you have the pit. Like an olive. Right? On the inside is the pit. On the outside you have the actual fruit. A date would be another example. You take a date. The outside is the fruit part that you're eating and the inside is the pit. And then there is the last part, or the last type from Olam HaAsiya, where the fruit is on the inside and the peel is on the outside, like a pistachio or an orange. This is very nice, but once again, I'm not a Kabbalist. I don't know much about Olam HaAsiya, Olam HaBiriya, Olam HaYitzira. When we go through davening, there's different stages. You have the Korbanot, and then the Kaddish. Stage one is one Olam, one world. And then you have, again, the Birkot HaShachar, and then you get to another Kaddish. And then from Yishtabach, you get up to and Birchot Kriyat Shema. And there, in theory, there should be another Kaddish, but you're on such a high level, you're right there in front of Kisei HaKavod. You don't need another Kaddish. And then what happens? After the Shmonesu, you have the Chazara, and the Tachanun, and then a Kaddish. That's bringing you down. and then you have Ashrei Uval Etzion, and then another Kaddish. That's the elevator down. Right? You have these different worlds that we're going through. Again, I don't know anything about these things. I'm just repeating what I've heard, and you can ask me questions. I have no answers, because I don't know. But that's very nice for the Kabbalists. So Tu B'Shvat maybe is a Kabbalistic holiday, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems like there's something that we're supposed to be able to appreciate. What is Tu B'Shvat meant for us? We all know the song, Tu B'Shvat Higia Chag La'ilanot. Now, how would most people say trees in Hebrew? Chag La'etzim? But why specifically over here do we call it the Ilanot? The Ilan. There must be something there. And one last idea, before we start explaining, our rabbis tell us that Lo hayu yamim tovim, the special days. What is an auspicious day for Shiduchim? Tu B'Shvat. We know Tu B'Av, the Gemara says, was one of those special days, but why Tu B'Av? What does Tu B'Av have to do with Shiduchim? Obviously, for sure, we said Tu B'Av, the Gemara says, was a special day, but why Tu B'Shvat as well? One thing we can potentially connect to, the Ben Ish Chai brings down in the book Pri Etz Hadar, is that Tu B'Shvat is the day to pray for your Etrog. Etrog, that's the day that Hashem decides that you can daven to make sure you get a very special etrog. To us nowadays, it doesn't seem like such a big deal, but back in the day, you hear the stories about Russia and Poland. There was one for the whole city, they were using the one from last year, one guy bought it, everybody borrowed from him. It was a special day to pray for an etrog. But on a practical level, what is Tu B'Shvat for us? So I was looking around, I was listening to a different shiurim. I'm much more of an audio guy. Dyslexic, so I retain stuff better when I hear it. You come to my car, I have stacks of CDs. And you get the AirPods, you're traveling. Now you can't really travel, but you go. By the time you sit there in the taxi, go to the airport, it's a half hour, 45 minutes, you're walking around, you wait to check in, you go up the steps, you don't even realize it's an hour shiur each way. So I do my best, my hishtadu, to listen anywhere I can. And I was listening to shiur from Rabbi Mansur. And he was discussing, what is this idea of Tu B'Shvat? What do we celebrate? Says, we know that we have different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most common name that we see is the Shem Havaya, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. And that name of Hashem represents mercy, represents chesed, represents flowing, represents open miracles. Whenever we look in the Az Yashir, in this week's parasha, which name of Hashem do they use? Shem Havaya. That is the name of miracles and of above nature and all things that aren't, I guess you would call, within the realm of nature. But we don't use that name. It's too holy. Even the witnesses, we say, some people say, you shouldn't say. Because they use the name of Hashem in their title. We are these Jaha, right? The witnesses. No. We don't use that name. I remember when my son was about 5 years old, he was learning to read. And he's reading, Baruch, Ata. Yeah, I'm like, no, Adon, and then I. And he's looking at me like, I haven't been doing this that long. Definitely doesn't say that. There's a yud and a hey and a vav and a hey. How are you getting, no, there's another name of Hashem is Shem Adanut. The name of Aleph Dalet and Nun Yud, that's a name of Adanut, which normally is associated with din, with judgment, with everything within the realm of nature. That is Adanut. Now, certain sidurim, the deeper Kabbalistic sidurims, if you will, even though when it says Baruch Atah, and it says Yud, and then Hey, and Vav, and Hey, a lot of times, it'll also have the letters Aleph in between the letters of the Yud and the Hey, but you'll see the Aleph and Dalet and the Nun and the Yud. That, from what I understand, is called the Shiluv. Shiluv Otiyot means you're putting together the name of Adanut and the name of Havaya. You're putting those together. What is our job? Our job is to see the Shiluv. Our job is to see in nature Hashem running the show. It's not easy. Because we get used to certain things. I was giving a class yesterday. It has many girls. And I said to one of the girls, imagine. You might have mentioned this in the past, I don't remember. Imagine right now, today, 27th of January, in one of the cemeteries, Tchiyat HaMetim, 10 people, they get up out of their graves. Would that be the front page of every newspaper in the world and the biggest story potentially in the history of the world? You had people that were dead and they start interviewing. When were you? I was from 1779. Where were you? I was from Queen Victoria. I used to work over there in the palace. And you? And I was here in 1919. I was here during the Spanish flu. Each one would do a tour and they'd be flying around the world, they'd be interviewed, it would be by far the biggest story. Potentially for months. And let's say next year, January 27, 2022, another 10 people, Tchiyat HaMetim, open miracle, front page of every newspaper, for sure. And then 2023, January 27, another, what happens when you get to 2035? And it's January 27th and another 10 people get up out of their graves. Does it make the news? Why not? It was the biggest story in the history of the world. What happens? How come it doesn't make the news anymore? Because it became nature. It became the norm. We look outside and we see a tree. It's dead. Nobody's taking selfies with the tree. No one's taking pictures with the tree. No one's having a time-lapse video. Check this out. It's amazing. It's empty and... Wow, now it's beautiful, it's blossoming, this fruit, it's phenomenal. No one posts those videos and everyone's like, share, amazing, phenomenal, coolest thing, best thing ever, I never heard, unbelievable. Why are we not impressed? Hateva. Hateva is nature. Adanut Hateva. Same gematria. It's all the norm. It's the norm. Human nature is that when we see something happen day in, day out, we take it for granted. We don't see Hashem running the show. I have a book I was going through last night by Rabbi Victor Miller called The Universe Testifies. The Universe Testifies, and it goes through what the atheists say or what the evolutionists say, and then what should be so pashut, so obvious. You have an alien. Yeah. What's your first name?
Josh.
Josh. This alien lands in your backyard. Seems quite friendly. So you invite him in. Say, can I get you something to eat? Sure. And the alien, you bring out some fruit. And you give him an orange. He says, wow, this is beautiful. Where'd you get this? We don't have anything like this on my world. He says, I got a tree in my backyard. So he comes outside, he looks at the tree. He says, but these are all green, and this one's orange. You say, well, yeah, because those aren't ready yet. He says, I don't understand. He says, well, the tree, it lets us know when the fruit is ready to eat. That's genius. Who programmed it like that? No, that's just the way it works. It lets you know when it's, and it looks much more appetizing when it's orange. So whoever programmed this tree knows that we have eyes to be able to see it. Yeah, obviously. And now he's about to bite into the orange. You're like, no. You got to take off the peel. He says, peel. And you show him how to peel it. And he says, who put this protective layer on the fruit? And what do you tell him? That's just the way it worked. And then he opens up the orange. He's like, who individually wrapped each one of these pieces? So that you can give a piece to each kid in your family. Who sat there individually wrapping each piece, wrapped it, protective layer with the peel, and then stuck it onto the tree? Like, no, that's just the way it grows. And then he bites in and he finds a pit. And he's like, well, I don't understand, what's this? Well, that's how we get the tree. We take this and we bury it. And rain comes from the sky. And the sun comes from the sky. And eventually, after a few years, the tree grows and grows and grows. And it gives you loads of oranges that then has inside of it more pits. And this alien is like, this is genius. Who set this up? This is the most amazing. We thought we had modern technology to be able to fly to different planets. But you have technology that it, automatically, this is genius. Who did this? What will evolutionists tell you? It's evolution. It just happened to be that way. And then you give him some watermelon. He's like trying to, like, the pits are really slimy and slippery. How come these pits are really slippery? What does Rabbi Victor Miller write? Because the watermelon pits are edible. And Hashem wants it to be that you're not just going to eat all the pits because they're supposed to be watermelons. So they're very slippery. So they fly away and then they go into the ground. You don't have to worry about the pits from the orange. Those are bitter. No one's eating those pits. So it happened to be that nature made it that these pits are slippery. These aren't. The watermelon lets you know the protective ring. And you have the red that makes it really appetizing. But it doesn't want you to eat the peel because the peel is protective. It's not good and it's not healthy for you and it's dangerous. The pits for an apple are very dangerous, supposedly. So they're very bitter, and you don't want to eat them. And what do we call this? Nature. Nature. How did it happen? It's the way it works. Why are we not blown away? You have an apple. You buy the apple, and someone draws a nice picture of an apple. They have the stem, and it's got the little leaves attached. First thing I do when I eat an apple, what do? You whip off the stem. What is the stem? The stem is the umbilical cord. It's the umbilical cord. All the nutrients, right? Newton sitting there, and he gets hit in the head by an apple. He says, wow, amazing. What should he have said? He shouldn't have figured out that there's something called gravity. What should he have figured out? Wow, there's something called an apple that falls off a tree when it's ready to be eaten, and it grows and it grows and it grows, and it has this stem, an umbilical cord, that gives it nutrients and sustenance that we take for granted. Somebody being pregnant, we're used to it. It makes no sense. My wife, she went when we were living in Israel, we were just married, she went with her sister to have a, you know, her sister had a baby. She comes back, she's like, I don't understand how anybody could not believe in Hashem after seeing childbirth. It makes no sense. It's a miracle. So why are we not blown away? Why are we not utterly flabbergasted? Why is this not the front page of every newspaper? Because Hateva. Nature. It's normal. It's natural. What is the job of Tu Bishvat? The job and the message of Tu Bishvat is stop and appreciate that this is a Havaya with Adanut. Then yeah, you call it nature, but there's really a Kodesh Baruch over here running the show. And again, I'm not saying anything you haven't heard before. I'm not saying anything that at the Mesillas Yesharim in his Hakdama, what does he say? Everything I'm about to tell you already know. Mishuv Rov Pirush Sumam, because it's so famous, it's so known. Hazaka Baruch, very nice, thank you. Teach me some Kabbalistic stuff. Teach me some deep stuff. Oh, that I enjoy, something new, something fresh, something I haven't heard before that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. But it's the fundamentals and the basics, and the foundation is the most important part. Tu Bishvat, we stop and just appreciate nature. We make a bracha in Nisan on the Ilanot. Right? You might tell me, look, I don't do fruit. I'm not such a healthy person. I don't do fruit. Tu Bishvat doesn't speak to me. You're able to breathe. You're able to breathe. How are you able to breathe? Because there's trees all over the world. Now we need oxygen to be able to breathe. And we breathe out carbon monoxide. What do the trees do? They do the exact opposite. And it's not like there's a cheshbon. They're not recording in the hospital. Today we had 1,233 births. Go plant 1,233 trees. It's not that there's no... Hashem sorts it out. We're able to breathe. We take it for granted. If there's ever been a time in recent history where we should appreciate breathing, it's now. Because unfortunately so many people are sitting there with machines to be able to breathe. We stop and we think that this virus is airborne. It's because there's a certain way that the world works. But maybe today on Tu Bishvat, Hashem says, stop and appreciate and understand that you took for granted the ability to be able to breathe. I remember years ago hearing a story of Rabbi Victor Miller. One time he walks in, his grandson walks into his house, and he sees Rabbi Victor Miller's face is in the sink, and there's bubbles coming up. So he quickly grabs his grandfather and says, what happened? I think maybe he was making something and he fainted into the sink. He says, what are you doing? Zaidi, what's going on over here? He said, no, I did it on purpose. He says, well, I don't understand. He says, I was walking by, and especially in the summer in New York City, very humid, very hot. And one guy was saying, it's so humid, I could barely breathe. And I walked by thinking, yeah, it's really humid. And then I thought to myself, what? I can barely breathe? I'm so lucky that I can breathe. So I wanted to go over here, we don't have a swimming pool, put my head under the water and understand what it means to not be able to breathe. And then when I get that first breath, ha ha, we take breathing for granted. Maybe now, with Corona, with COVID, maybe we won't, but we don't. Tu Bishvat is that reminder. Hashem's there running the show. Whether we see Him or not, we have to understand. So yeah, there's the miracles, the Shem Havaya, but it's the Shiluv. It's putting them together. The gematria of Yud and then Hey and Vav and Hey, 26. The gematria of Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, 65. You put them together, you have the Shiluv. What does that equal? 91. And you have Amen. Amen equals 91. Sukkah equals 91. But also, Tu Bishvat Igiya Chag, La Ilanot. Ilan, gematria 91. What are we celebrating on Tu Bishvat? It's being able to see Hashem in the nature. Not taking for granted that there's such a thing called an orange, or a watermelon, or fruit, or trees, or the ability to breathe. Just to stop and think, where am I going? What am I doing? The things that I've taken for granted, being able to have children, unless there's somebody who chas v'shalom can't. It's, yeah, ma'aseh b'chol yom. These things happen day in, day out, all the time. Until you have a couple that unfortunately is struggling, and not able to, and you realize, wow, I was so lucky that I was just able to get it right away. Or within a short amount of time and not really be stressed out about it. Tu Bishvat, we stop and we appreciate nature. We appreciate the tree. And in a way, it's easy to appreciate when it's in a full bloom and it's beautiful and it's stunning. No, come and appreciate it stafka when it doesn't look beautiful. And understand Hashem has a plan. Right now it looks very bleak. Right now it looks very dark. Right now things look very bad. But I trust and I believe Hashem runs the show. And it's going to be good. I heard a line last week. It was a phenomenal line. At the end, everything's going to be okay. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. At the end, everything's going to be okay. I thought it was a great line. So I was thinking, maybe it's in Pirkei Avot, Hillel, Rabbi Akiva. It's from John Lennon. But it's still a great line. At the end, he must have got it from somewhere in the Talmud. At the end, everything's going to be okay. And if not, then it's not the end. And maybe the end is Mashiach. Maybe the end is at the end. We don't know. We trust. We believe. We have emunah bitachon. And we do our hishtadut. But we still know it's from Hashem. I was giving a shiur last week. They asked this organization called Ora, where they have shiurim for the women. And somebody messaged Rabbi Levine. I'm sure he's come to speak over here. He's amazing. And he said, you know, it's challenging times here with Corona and in general. And, you know, can we get a shiur, some chizuk, the waiting game. The waiting game. That was the title of the shiur, the waiting game. And they asked to either have Rabbi Tatz or me. Rabbi Tatz wasn't available, so they got stuck with me. And we were discussing, first of all, I'm not the person, I can only repeat what it says. I don't know. Nobody understands. But I said, everybody has their challenges with emunah and bitachon. So I opened up, I'm a big fan of Shimon Schwab, and he has an essay on bitachon. I think I might have told you in the past the story. It wasn't in this essay, but Shimon Schwab, he spent one Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim. And he has loads of stories from that Shabbos. And the Chafetz Chaim, they're sitting there by the table together, and the Chafetz Chaim says to him, "Nu, how's your father doing?" And teenage Reb Shimon Schwab says, "Not so great, but we have bitachon that he'll get better." Chafetz Chaim says, "It's not bitachon. We shouldn't have bitachon that he's going to get better." He says, "Of course you should, but that's not bitachon." He says, "Well, what's bitachon? Bitachon is, I trust that Hashem can make him better. But if not, that's what's best. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking. I want this person to get better. I want this person to get a shidduch. I want this person to have a child. I want this person's business to do well." That's you're dominating for what you want. And you're saying, "Hashem, give me this. I need this. I want this. So-and-so needs this." But if not, I understand you know what's best. And he has an essay over there. And he writes, you can have emunah without bitachon, but you can't have bitachon without emunah. Now, what does that mean? We might have discussed here in the past. I don't remember. If I ask you, what does emunah mean? What would you tell me?
Faith.
What does bitachon mean?
Faith.
Trust. Belief. On a practical level, what's the difference?
Bitachon is you know what happened.
Bitachon is you know, and emunah is you're pretty sure.
Believing.
What's the difference? I remember I was giving a shiur in a guy's house, and he said to me, it was before Rosh Hashanah, he said, "I just told my boss, who's a Muslim, not very devout, but a Muslim, I said, I need off Rosh Hashanah, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, then there's Yom Kippur, Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, or whatever it was, Wednesday, third, and then I have Sukkot and Simchas Torah, and you know, the guy couldn't tell him no, because it's Jewish holidays, but he says to me, my boss looks at me, he's a banker, he says, "Do you believe in all this, or are you just hedging?" Just in case I get up there and there is a God, better safe than so. I'm just hedging, right? That's what they do. They're hedging their bets. That's, you're saying emunah is hedging and bitachon is, I know. So the Chazon Ish has a book called Emunah and Bitachon, and he explains. Emunah is the knowledge. Bitachon is living that knowledge. If you take 100 people who smoke cigarettes and you say to them, "Is smoking bad for you?" What percentage will say smoking is bad for you? 95, 98, maybe even 100%. So they have the emunah, they have the knowledge. They don't have to be tough, and they're not living that knowledge. Baruch Hashem, in our circles, we have emunah. But when times are tough, you need to live the emunah, which is bitach. And we all go through ups and downs. It's normal. And Rabbi Schwab writes in this essay, he quotes the famous Medrash from Eicha. There's four kings. David HaMelech, he davens to Hashem, "Hashem, help me pursue, strategize, pursue, and kill my enemies." And then you have Asa. And what is Asa? He says, "I'm not like my great-grandfather David. I'm gonna pursue. Hashem, help me pursue." And it helps them pursue. A miracle happens. They hear voices and noises and they run away. And then comes Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat, he says, I can't kill. I can't even pursue. I'm just going to sit here and sing Shira. And Hashem helps him. And then comes Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu says, I'm not going to kill, I'm not going to pursue, I'm not going to sink, I'm going to stay here in bed and go to sleep. And Hashem helps him win the war. Who would you say has the most bitachon? Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He does nothing. Our rabbis tell us, no. You know who has the most bitachon? David HaMelech. Why? What do you mean? Chizkiyahu did nothing. He says, of course, David HaMelech did so much more. But even still, if you go to David HaMelech and you say, how'd you win the war? He says, I didn't do anything. Hashem won the war. I'll give you a modern day example. You come to two people. They're both multi-millionaires. One guy, he sat there for 30 years building up his business. He sold this one and that worked out well. That one didn't. Then he invested here and he bought that. And the guy made millions over 30 years. Another guy, also multi-millionaire. How'd you make all your money? I won the lottery. So you ask the guy who won the lottery, where'd you get all your money from? He says, Hashem. You ask the second guy, where'd you get the money from? And he also says, Hashem. But what do you mean? You sat there for 30 years building up your business. Hashem helped me invest over here. And then Hashem made it that I lost a little bit. Hashem made it. Every other word of his mouth is not, I invested, I did this, I sold, I bought, I, with the help of Hashem. No, it's not even I. There's no I. It's Hashem. David HaMelech, he strategized, he pursued, he killed. And when you say to him, how'd you win the war? I didn't do anything. I didn't win the war. Hashem did. On a simple level, Chizkiyahu did nothing. Wow, epic bitachon, of course. But David HaMelech did everything and still understands it's all from Hashem. Everything's from Hashem. But human nature is, when times are tough, we get scared. Yaakov Avinu. Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzelo. You read it quickly, you say, Yaakov Avinu, Esau's coming, 400 men, he's got four wives, a bunch of kids, it's not going to be easy. Vayira, he was scared, vayetzelo, he was very distressed. And then he starts davening. So on a simple level, he's scared, he's distressed. No, vayira Yaakov me'od, Yaakov was very scared. So what happens? Vayetzelo, it bothered him, he was distressed. How could I be scared? Where's my bitachon? So what does he do? He davens, not Hashem, get rid of Esav. Not Hashem, get rid of the situation. Hashem, help me strengthen my bitachon. Help me be able to live the emunah. I know, he's a prophet, he's talking to Hashem, he's Yaakov Avinu. But human nature is when someone's attacking you, when times are tough, when there's darkness, when things of the trees look empty, it's scary. So what do? You can't expect everything to just happen overnight. This coronavirus. So we could daven to Hashem, get rid of coronavirus. Is it going to happen by tomorrow? Possible, but highly unlikely. So what do we daven to Hashem? Hashem, give me the strength to live the emunah so that I can have bitachon for when it'll be okay, for the end. I know at the end it's going to be okay. Give me strength to be able to do it. That's what it means in this week's parasha, says Rabbi Schwab. They're by the Yam Suf. They're about to be smashed. There's the ocean. There's the Egyptians bearing down on them. Tafsu, says Rashi. What happened? Tafsu? The emunas avos. What avos? Where's the emunah of the avos? The emunah of the avos is that when times are tough, Hashem, help me live my emunah. Help me have that bitachon. Not fix the situation. Of course, fix the situation as well. But it's not about right now making everything good. It's about understanding. Hashem, give me the koyach to be able to go through the dark times. To be able to play the waiting game. To be able to look outside, look at empty trees, and know, Hashem, you got a plan. And it's going to be good. I call it nature. But it's not nature, it's Hashem running the show. But I invested the money, I sold, I bought, I did this, and I made all the millions. No, Hashem did everything. Again, it's a David HaMelech level of bitachon. It's easy to talk about, hard to live. But for us on our level, times are tough. And it's very normal to be scared. And we should be a little bit distressed. Where's my bitachon? But what do? We daven. We daven and we say, Hashem, help me. What is Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat is seeing the Havaya with the Adanut. It's seeing Hashem in the nature. That's the Ilan. It's the 91. Why is it a special, auspicious time for Shiduchim? Ran out of time, but men, they're connected to the Havaya. And women, they're the Adanut. They're the ones within nature. They're the ones having the babies. They're the ones that have the umbilical cord. They have the stem. You put those together. If Tu B'Shvat is putting together the Havaya, the Adanut, it's the same thing as putting together the men and the women. On a much lower level. But that's why the rabbis write that it's somewhat of a auspicious and special time for Shiduchim. Because again, you're putting together. If you're able to see Hashem in the nature, what's Hashem doing all day? Mezaveg zivugim. It's putting it all together. And it's not always going to happen the way you expect it to happen. And some people take longer, some people take shorter, right? The Yam Suf, people think they crossed and came out the other side. No, they went back around. So when you have a circle and there's a lot of people, some people are on the inside track, some people are not on the inside track. Some people it happens right away, some people takes longer. That's one of the reasons that Shiduchim is Kiryat Yam Suf. Hashem's sitting there, he's got a plan. We don't always understand it. but we trust and we say, it might look bleak, it might look empty, but it's just a matter of time till it blossoms. I see in everything that happens, Hashem running the show. We take for granted, photosynthesis, we take for granted that the trees give us oxygen. That's nature. No, understand and appreciate that we are able to breathe, something that we probably took for granted, but now less so. If we're able to have that shiluv of the Adanut and the Havaya, if we're able to appreciate the Ilan, the 91, El Melech Ne'eman, Amen. We see Hashem, we trust that He's got a plan and that He's going to make everything work out. And it's all going to be okay. We just need to wait, have that patience. And when we're scared, when it's tough times, we daven, strengthen our emunah, let us live that bitachon. Thank you very much.